Okay, great. We didn't have a chance to hear Rabbi Leibowitz last night. I posted on the YUT Torah thing. I would really recommend it. Really wonderful.
Oh, good.
Wonderful.
So you did record it.
I recorded it. I already posted it.
It was very nice. I feel like I want to listen to it.
I posted it already. Yeah. Really beautiful. Beautiful. I found it very personally inspiring. It's great. So, okay. So, I want to go right after the first conversation that takes place in this week's Parsha. Parsha's Miketz. And it's one that I initially was like, I don't know if I, you know, want to go after this because there's not such great answers to this question. But I think there are better answers to it than I thought. I tried going with something else and I didn't want to. I wanted to talk about this. So I came back and I went after this. And I think, let's see, you'll let me know. Anything, you'll help me out. Let's take a look. Source number one is the end of last week's Parsha. Okay, Yosef is in the jail. Finally, right? The second bad place that Yosef had to. First, Yosef is thrown in the pit and he's sold to Mitzrayim. He goes to Potiphar's house. He's great. He's doing well. He's an Ish Matzliach. We talked about that on Shabbos. And then again, he gets in trouble. Ish's Potiphar goes after him. He does tremendous, tremendous act of free will and decides to withhold himself from her. Gets thrown in jail. He's in jail the Medrash says it was for 10 years. And now he's with the Sarah Ophim and Sarah Mashkim, right? The baker and the butler. And he listens to each of their dreams. And he hears the dream from the Sarah Mashkim. And let's look what he says. Vayomer lo Yosef. This is last week's parsha. Vayomer lo Yosef. Ze pitrono. Shloshes hasarigim shloshes yamim heim. The three vines that you saw in your dream, those are 3 days. Ve'od shloshes yamim yisa paros rashecha. In 3 days, par will lift up your head, meaning he'll count you, he'll find you, he'll think about you. Ve'yishivcha al kanach, and I'll return you to your post. Ve'nasata kos paro biyado kamishpat ha'bishon ha'shah yisa mashkeu. You go back to serving paro his drinks. And then he says, ki'im zichartanu, but please, do me a favor, remember me. Itcha, with yourself. Kasha yitavlach, when good things happen to you. V'yasisa na yimadi chesed. V'yiskartani el paro, mention me to paro. V'otseisani min abayis hazeh. Do me a favor. This is what's going to happen to you in 3 days. You're going to go back. You're going to be in paro, back next, literally sitting next to paro. Don't forget about me. And maybe mention me to paro when it becomes, you know, maybe not the first day. It wouldn't be a good idea. But after a little while, don't forget. And mention me to paro. Ki gunov gunavti me'eretz ha'ivrim, I've been stolen away from the land of the Hebrews. V'gam polo asisim mi'uma kim samu osi babor, and here I didn't do anything. They put me in jail. And what happens? The third day comes. I skipped this whole story. Now that he does the sar ofim also, but fine. V'hiba yom ha'shlishi yom huledes as paro. Now it's the third day. It's Paro's birthday. V'yas mishter l'chol avadav, and he makes a party for all of his servants. V'yisatz rosh shar mashkim v'sar ofim. And he takes the Sar Ophim and Sar Mashkim both out of jail. And he returns Sar Mashkim to his post, just as Yosef had predicted. And also the same thing. He predicted that the Sar Ophim would be hanged, and that's what happened. And what happens? The Sar Mashkim does not remember Yosef. Rather,
he forgets him.
Okay, he forgets him. Okay, fine. Anything? Well, let's just keep going. Next pasuk. Vayhi mikesh nasayim yamim. And now, what is? By the time you get to the next pasuk, how much time has passed? 2 years have passed. Uparo cholem vinei omed ayayor. Now Paro has a dream, and he's sitting on the yor, and that calls the whole story beginning of Parshas Miketz, where Paro has the dreams, no one can give answers, and what happens all of a sudden? Sar Mashkim says, "Oh, I remember this Hebrew slave who was in jail, and he helped me when I had a dream. Maybe he can help you too." Fine. So all of the Mefarshim are bothered. Vayhi mikech nasayim yamim. Now it's been 2 years. So, first of all, does the Torah tell us how long that Yosef was in the jail? Did it say anywhere? It doesn't say anywhere. It never tells you anywhere how long Yosef was in jail.
It does.
Doesn't say. The Medrash says it was 10 years. The Medrash says it actually ends up being 12 years, we'll see. But we do not have any text anywhere. Do we know how long Yosef was in the pit? Do we know how long Yosef took him to get down to Mitzrayim? We don't know how long things take. They take whatever they take. I don't know. We don't always know. But here the Torah goes out of its way and says, Vayhi miketz shenasayim yamim. It was at the end of 2 years. Okay. take a look first at source number 5. Sorry, then we're going to go back. Okay, go back, go to source number 5, and then we'll go back to source number 2. Says the Medrash Tanchuma. Page 2. Source number 5. Remember where I am? Mm-hmm. Yes? Okay. Mikach Nasayim Mim, Velo Hayat Sarich Yosef Lasos Vivesa Surud, Ela Eser Shanim. So says the Medrash, Yosef was only supposed to be in jail for 10 years. Velama Hosif Velo Oj Ste Shanim. And why does he have to stay for 2 more years? Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Atah Yishlachta Bitchoni Ubatachta Basar HaMashkim. You threw, I know. That's why I almost didn't do this. But we're going to do it anyways. Okay? You put your faith in the Saram, you threw away your faith in me, says God, and you relied on the Saramashkim. Ve'amar talo shtei zechiros. You said it to him twice. Ki im zechartani v'hizkartani. You asked him 2 times to remember you. Tishtakach v'tisha'er be'ishanim be'beis ha'sohar. So you will stay 2 more years in jail. Lakach v'ayhi, miketz shenasayim yamim uparocholim. That's what the Torah says. After 2 years, now Parah has a dream. Beis shanim letzia saramashkim mi beis hasar. He waited 2 years after their saramashkim was released from prison. Okay, so go. What? Let's go. What's the problem?
You have to do due diligence.
Yeah, due diligence. Hishtadlus. Every person has to do hishtadlus. We don't sit in our house and say, Hashem will provide. Right? What they make the joke, right? When the boy comes to meet his future father-in-law.
Yeah.
And he says to him, you know, I'm going to say it right. How are you going to support my daughter? He says, Hashem will provide. He says, how are you going to make sure to, have food and things for my grandchildren? Hashem will provide. So they finish the meeting. And the mother-in-law says, "Oh, how do you like the boy?" She says, "Two is a good thing and a bad thing. The good thing is, the bad thing is he has no responsibility. The good thing is he. I got it wrong.
He thinks I'm Hashem.
He thinks I'm Hashem. Right? So good. Right? So like right. This is ridiculous. Right? The other story, the guy in the flood. We know the stories, right? And the boat came, and the helicopter came, and Hashem says,
mm-hmm. "Who do you think
I was sending all those? Right, you got to do hishtadlus." Don't just sit around and do nothing. Hashem will provide. You don't do that. So if you're sitting in jail and there's a guy about to leave the jail, what do you say to him? Remember me. That's normal.
Yeah.
It's a normal thing to say. And instead, Yosef is punished 2 years more being in jail because he trusted in the Saramashkim.
Because the second time he asked
him. I think the Medrash...
If he had done it, it would have been a normal thing. He should have asked God instead.
Okay. So you could say that. I think the Medrash means to say, because we're going to see later, I don't know if we'll see it or not, but the Zalman Torah points out that usually memory lasts for a year. A punishment goes for a year. A year at a time, typically, whatever that means. So the 2 askings gives him 2 years. And that's what the Medrash seems to be saying, because you ask twice, 2 years, right? If it would have asked once, it would have only been 1 year. So it sounds like if it would have asked 0 times, He would have gone free.
But also, like, Yosef had already been in jail then for 10 years. Like, you can't blame him for just...
It's very hard.
Yeah.
It's very difficult. It's very difficult. Good. So, what did I bring you here to do? To talk about how difficult it is? We're gonna figure out some answers. Yeah.
I see Hashem is putting the guy there to help him.
Right.
So he would ask once.
Right.
The problem was... He shouldn't have asked a second.
Okay, you want to say only once. That's fine. I'm just saying, I think the Medrash is faulting him even for asking once.
Mm-hmm. Really?
Because the 2 times is 2 years. So that means that 1 time, presumably, 1 time was 1 year, I think. But maybe. But it could be.
The first year will never happen.
Right.
But if he asks twice,
then 2 years. Okay, it could be. That's a fair answer. It's too much, Ishtadlus. Okay, yeah?
I think Hashem gave him a special power that he knew how to interpret the dream. And the fact that he was given that power was already putting him on a special level.
So okay.
He was probably, on one hand, thinking, now that I have this power, let me use it for my advantage. I know that he's going to go out, and let me take care of that. And then I think maybe because he was a tzaddik, Yosef was a tzaddik, so like a normal person, we're in jail, we're going to do everything we possibly can to get out. But Yosef should have had more faith in Hashem. Not that I'm agreeing with this, but that's
we're going to see something like that. We're going to see, yeah. Good. Yeah? Anybody else?
Just like a question on Chukim. Like it says, he didn't remember
Like Yosef didn't remember the Sarah Mashkim, and then Vayishka Heyu. Like it has that double.
Double language.
Right. I linked that because just now, and we said he asked twice, so then it's like a double.
V'lo zachar Sarah Mashkim. The Sarah Mashkim didn't remember him.
Right.
Vayishka Heyu, and he forgot him. We're going to see a different shot as we move along. But yes. It's a surprising language. I guess I highlighted it also, but it's a surprising language. It's double language that it seems
like
bizarre.
It's a double language.
Something's going on here. All right, something's going on here. Good. So take a look at Rashi in source number 3. So Rashi wants to explain. Below Zachar, it's actually on the front page. Source number 3. Front page. Rashi on the bottom. Below Zachar, Sarah Mashkim, Bo Bayom. That day, meaning he got out that day and he forgot already.
Completely.
Didn't remember. Vayishkachehu la'achemikan. Okay, what Rashi is bothered by the same thing that Rochelle's bringing up. It's a strange thing to say both, right? Why? Okay, Rashi quotes the Medrash. Because Yosef placed his bitachon in what? In the remembering. But why is the Torah going to have to explain to us that he didn't remember? To say, because what was Yosef banking on? He's banking on Sarah Mashkim's memory. So Torah says, well, maybe you don't want to rely on Sarah Mashkim's memory. He's a human being, and human beings forget. And that's exactly what happened. You became dependent. You made yourself dependent on his memory, and he forgot. Huskach liyos asur od shtei shanim, and therefore he stays for 2 more years. And why is that? There's another medrash that quotes these psukim. Shenamar, Ashri agever, Ashir sam Hashem miftacho. Pasuk says, happy is a person who places their trust in Hashem. Velo pana el rehavim. And doesn't go after rehavim, other creatures, human beings, low lives. Right? You rely on other people, right? So happy is a person who places their trust in Hashem and not other people. Right? And then play on words, velo batach ala mitzrim hakruyim rehav. Yeshayahu refers to the Mitzrim as Rehavim. So that's this language of Ashrei Gever Shersam Hashem Miftacho Velo Panal Rehavim. There's Medrash actually, we're going to see later, that actually uses this pasuk in a funny way. It says Ashrei Gever Shersam Hashem Miftacho Ze Yosef. That Yosef is a person who was the Ashrei Gever. He was the good person who always placed a trust in Hashem. Velo Panal Rehavim doesn't change other people. That was also Yosef. That's why he stayed 2 years in the jail. So we're going to have to see. The Beis Halevi is going to explain to us how to unpack this. But Rashi is quoting the same idea that this is the reason why the Torah emphasizes not just the 2 years, but emphasizes the forgetfulness of the Sarah Mashkim. You want to rely on human beings' memory? Not going to go so great for you. Okay? Take a look at the Sifsei Chachamim, who we now seem to quote every week, to understand why Rashi says what he says. And the Sifsei Chachamim says the following. Dim lo kein, my nafkamina dechsiv velo zachar. Right, he's going on the shin. The shin is because Yosef put his reliance on the zikaron, on the memory. Right, and he says because if that wasn't true, then why does the Torah say velo zachar? In balomar shelo asa chesed. Right, if you want to say he didn't remember him, he didn't do anything for him. Zenechtav kvar vayhi mekeishan saimemim. Meaning, the Torah doesn't need to tell me at all that the Tzar Mashman didn't remember. How would I know anyways?
Because if we say that 2 years passed and Yosef's still in jail, obviously he didn't remember.
Obviously the Tzar Mashman didn't do anything.
Right.
So you don't really need the Torah to tell me at all that he forgot. The fact that two years passed and Yosef is still in prison, right? Or 2 years passed, sorry, Power has a dream and Tzar Mashman says, hey, remember that guy who was in, what does that tell me? That for 2 years, he hadn't thought about him. Right, so I don't need this pasuk at all, and that's what the Sifsei Chachamim is saying. That's why Rashi all of a sudden jumps to say Lo Zachar Yosef VaYishkachehu. Oh, why? Because it must be the Torah is trying to emphasize that Yosef placed his bitachon in the zechira itself. It's actually very, it's a much sharper, or I should say, it's a way of recognizing always that the Medrash emanates from problems in the text. They didn't just make it up. Chazal didn't just like, hey, we have an idea we want to say, so you might as well just like find some place to say it. It literally comes from a kasha. It comes from a problem in the text. What's this pasuk here for at all? Right, and the answer is, because and therefore, it must be the Torah is trying to emphasize that Yosef, right, placed his hopes in the zechira.
It's judgmental.
It's meant there to judge Yosef, right, that the pasukim actually mean to judge Yosef. Yes. So it's not just like we're throwing things on him out of nowhere.
Well, right? It's also like unfair of I'm just thinking, like, was this maybe also putting the Sar HaMashkim in a rough spot? Like, if he was thrown in jail, he got out of favor with Paro, and then he's being brought back into the good graces. Like, I feel like you're not going to right away say, hey, by the way, I met this other prisoner. Right. And
do me a favor and get him out.
Like, he needs to build back his rapport with Paro, and I feel like he actually did the right thing where, like, when there was a need, like, that was kind of the angle he played. Like, when Paro all of a sudden started having these dreams, that was a great way.
Like, when someone says, hey, can you put in the good word with your boss? And you're like, I need the good word with my boss myself first before I can put in the good word for you. No, but it's true. Yeah. It's like, can be uncomfortable, right? So you're right, just in a regular story piece, it's like kind of an uncomfortable place for the Sar HaMashkim. That's true. What you might argue, though, is, I want to make sure I'm not. It is fair to say, I think, in the realm of Hashkachas Hashem, right? How Hashem runs the world, that Hashem can decide, right? How do we remember or not remember things? Right? We definitely find this in the Torah that Hashem, right? People remember things or think of things. Achashverosh wakes up in the middle of the night, and all of a sudden, right? There's Hashkachas Hashem in terms of like what memory for you certainly find in other places in Tanakh, right? So you could have had the Sar HaMashkim like keep it in mind, hold it for a couple months, and then when he's ready, right? That's not what happens. The Torah actually tells us, Vayishkacheyu. And I wonder if at least one could argue, Vayishkacheyu is almost like Hashem wiped the flashing pen, you know, from Men in Black, and like made him forget him, right? That he causes him to forget.
But then wouldn't the conjugation be different for the word?
Vayishkacheyu?
Right. Like, wouldn't it be that Hashem caused.
Yeah, no, that's true. I mean, you're right. It's not explicit in that.
Right.
I'm just saying,
I think
it's fair.
Could do it.
The doubleness,
right.
Like,
he made him,
you know,
he
forgot on his own, and then Hashem let it. I'm making that up. Like, if I was writing a paper, it's a fair thing to say.
Like, when we get into the later stages with Paro, don't they, Hashem hardened his heart?
Hashem does that directly, right? Right, yes. There, it's very obvious and clear that Hashem controls Paro in those moments. But I'm saying, even in that, like, less controlling way, right, the idea of things coming up. Mm-hmm. Oh, all of a sudden, everyone remembers the following. They turn to a certain page in the book, and now they remember the story, right? These things happen through Hashkachas Hashem, right? Mm-hmm. So, like, you know, you could very easily say, yes, there's a regular, normal, this wasn't so comfortable for the Sar HaMashkim. Who knows if he was a good guy? Maybe he's not interested in helping him. Did Yosef really help the Sar HaMashkim? Not really. He didn't do anything for him. What did he do?
Right. Well, maybe he calmed him down.
He just predicted what was going to happen anyways.
Right.
So it's not like Yosef saved him. Right. Does he owe Yosef? Does he owe Yosef?
And Yosef noticed after they dreamed, they were despondent.
No, Yosef does a chesed.
He noticed that they were despondent.
Sorry, he's therapist Yosef. He's not, he didn't, you know, show me the money and that, but, you know, he didn't do much for me, you know, in that moment. He did something nice. He did something miraculous. He told him what was going to happen before it happened. That was pretty cool, right?
That's what I'm saying. Like,
but he doesn't owe him.
Right. Sar HaMashkim doesn't need to put him up on the line again.
Yeah.
That's why when Yosef asked him, do me this chesed. Like,
right.
Saying it like, you don't need to.
You don't
do
need
this,
to.
But,
yeah.
Like, as a nice thing for me, would you please
right.
put a good word?
And here instead, boom, Hashem lays down the hammer. Okay, so good. So we're still bothered. Good, that's fine. I'm just saying, I think I love the Sitzit Chacham here brings out, like, Why is Rashi bothered? Right, there's a book called What's Bothering Rashi. You ever seen that book? So, like, right, you can just find it in Sefer Chachamim. But like, they always explain this. What's bothering Rashi? I think it's important because you see that the Medrash doesn't just stomp come up with things. Right. Again, the Vayihi Mikesh Shasayimim is also another sign. Right, for the Medrash to bring something to me. Fine. Okay. So let's look at some answers here or some tries at answers. The Maya Mesa Shoeva, and again, I'll say, like I said, this question has bothered me for a long time, and I wanted to talk about it, but I recognize it's a hard one. So we'll do our best to see if we find something that we like. The Maya Mesa Shoeva is Rav Shimon Schwab, source number 6. He was the Rav of Kahad Das Yeshua, known as the Broyer side of the Washington Heights for many, many years. So he writes the following. U'bemedrish Lo haya Yosef ra'ul hi nasein b'beis ha'asur ne'el yud shanim. This is the Medrash you saw. He wasn't supposed to be there for 10 years only. B'mpeh shehotzi diba al yud achiv. Oh, by the way, we don't know why he was in jail for the 10 years. 10 years because he spilled lashon hara about his 10 brothers. Wow. Already heavy on Yosef. Ve Yosef es diba samra el avihem. That Yosef would speak lashon hara about his brothers. So for each brother, he gets a year. Right? A year in prison. Wow. V'yadei she'amar l'sar ha'mashkim.
Big trouble.
Right. A lot more years. We're like, all of us, each time, each person, a year in jail. Holy cow. Vayadesh, we could just stop there. Vayadesh amar l'sar ha'mashkim kim zechartani itcha v'hizkartani al paro nitosef lo od shtei shanim shenemar v'yihi mikesh nesayim emim. Again, it was added 2 more years because of what he said to the sar ha'mashkim. V'yesh l'ayin. We should take a look. Sharei ha'ishtadlus muteres. Hishtadlus is effort. Effort. Normal human effort is permissible. Right, Schwab agrees with you. Right? It's permissible. Even to someone who trusts in Hashem. Ubefrat sharei ha'ivin Yosef shekol ma shenesu sar ha'mashkim ve'ofim kedei shetava lo harvacha ayedehem. Meaning, it's probably clear to Yosef, he sees these two guys, they're going to go free. Like, hello, Hashem did this for me, right? We would say that, right? Like, yeah, wow, hashkacha, wow, like that's amazing, right? And when I was many years ago, we were in Charleston actually trying out to go to Charleston. This is like so many years ago, 16, I don't know, a long time ago. And we were in the car with Rabbi Sittner, who's the senior rabbi in Charleston, and his son was in the car. His son is now 20 something. So we were driving the car and we saw something that was like, oh my gosh, couldn't believe it. He's like, Abba, that's hashtacha. Hashtacha, he said hashtacha. I still remember like this day, you know. That's hashtacha pratis. So anyways, so the point is that but Yosef would say, wow, like these two guys, and like they had the dream and I know the answer. Oh my gosh, right? That's hashtacha pratis, that they're here. V'tzarech lomar, so what's the problem? V'tzarech lomar, she'ikar kavanas ha-medrash, al-sof ha-pasuk. It's about the last phrase. Remember me to Paro and take me out of this place. V'lo omar v'yotzi'eni Elokim mina bayis hazeh. He doesn't say. He says, tell Paro, so Paro should take me out of here. Instead of tell Paro, and then Hashem will remove me. Okay. O v'yitse mina bayis hazeh. Or, and I'll be let out of here. V'nira ki ilu nasan koach b'yad sar ha'mashkim shehu hu sheyotziyo mima'asro. It's as if he gave the power to the sar ha'mashkim to be the one to take him out. V'al zeh nitosu lo beishanim. Okay, so at first, like, well, come on, right? Because he said, Paro will take me out. Okay, how would you understand this a little bit better, meaning in terms of like mindset?
He's kind of given up on Hashem taking him out.
It's not like he's not allowed to do a shtadlus. He's allowed. But what started to happen to Yosef?
He started putting faith in humans rather than HaKadosh Baruch.
The action can be the same action. But it's all about the mindset. It's not about the words that he said. He said Paro. Right? The point is that when he, once he's like, oh, wait a second, you're going to go free. I need your help. Right, and you can see it in a person's eyes, right, in their language, right, in their intensity of fear and worry, right? And he's like, okay, now I really need you, because you're my guy. You're my last hope. That, right, like, meaning Ki'ilu, that Yosef sort of at this point is actually really relying on him. Right? And yes, of course it's permissible to do a shtadlus, and any person could do that. It's totally fine. But the question was, where was his head at when he did so? Had he just kind of said, like, okay, fine, now I got my guy, and you're gonna help me. And I feel, and you can tell, by the way, how you feel based on your how you feel, right? Now that I have this person, now I relax. Now I feel like I'm okay now, right? So what does that mean? That means my real reliance now is where? It's on this guy. It's on the human being, right? I could say it's on it, right? But I've shifted my mindset and even my emotions and even like my body language or even like my how tense I am or not, right? Based on that person. This is still very high level, right? But I think what he's getting at is what bothers Chazal, right, in that moment is his emphasis on the human intervention. Now that's going to help him. Okay. V'alze amru Chazal, l'faresh ha-pasuk, ashrei ha-gever sher sam ha-shem yivtachov v'lo panal rehavim. This is why Chazal said this pasuk, you know, that it's great to be a person who relies on Hashem and not doesn't change others. Ze Yosef. Because he said these languages, so he's added 2 years. Even though ishtalus is permissible. It's not because he relied on other people. Not because he went to someone else and said, hey, can you help me out? It's because he became now reliant on him. And he thought that he was the one who was actually going to help him. And he would be the one who, in the end, is gonna help me, right? It's like I can go to work every single day, right? And say, you know, I go to work and you get paid for your job, right? And the question is, who's paying me? So, okay, the boss is paying me, the business is paying me, whoever's paying me, right? But ultimately, we know that it's not the Kadosh Baruch Hu. I get paid, I don't get paid. We know this easy, right? Anybody in their own experiences, right? In a second, what you think is coming your way can be gone, right? Kadosh Baruch Hu makes those decisions. So it looks like we're getting paid by the company we work for. But at the end of the day, it's not really. And so does that mean I shouldn't go to work? No, I should go to work. But what did I have to do? And the Torah and the Kadosh Baruch Hu requires to do this all the time, right? To do one thing that looks normal, like everyone else does, but had the perspective to be something different. All right, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to go to work like everybody else, and I'm going to have a job, and I'm going to get paid, etc. And I have to, like, at the same time, remind myself, but at the end of the day, I'm not getting paid by the job. I mean, paid by your bonus, which is very hard. It's a hard. This itself is a high level, but the argument here that Yosef is getting punished in this case is because he switched perspective. And still, by the way, right, like many, like you said, like Yosef is not, you know, ploni amoni. Yosef is Yosef, a tzaddik. So he's being held to this standard in a different way. But I guess I think it's like bringing us a little bit closer to like a little bit more, you might call it reasonable. Like something that we can understand a little bit, maybe. Yeah, maybe. No.
No, it is, but it's a little bothersome. Hashem is going to penalize any one of us for what we're thinking. Ah. And a few weeks ago, we talked about the whole situation with Yaakov and his dreams about the sheep. Mm-hmm. And Hashem says to him, it's time to leave. So Hashem saw Yaakov's thinking was shifting.
And gave he him stepped a help. In. Right.
Right. So why is he punishing Yosef and good. Not giving good. Him the same
good. Little... So I don't have the answer. We don't have the answer.
Right.
But these are answers to the concept.
Yes.
Right? These are explaining the concept. Okay. I want to show you something else for a second. Because a few other things. We have a little bit of time. Another midrash, Shorash number 7. This is a little bit off topic for a second, but I think it's really cool. The Otzer Midrashim, Shorash number 7. Because I just want to show you, not everybody thinks that this is the reason. Okay? Otzer Midrashim, Shorash number 7. Davar Acher, Breishis Rabbah. Elu Shtei Shanim Shiditosu Lo Me'osa Shah Shiyatza Saramashkin Be'esasor. Yeah, it was by indication of time, it was 2 years. Good. Hashem added 2 years. Why? V'lamini Tosef Lo Be'eshanim Kadesh Yachalom Paro V'iskadel Yosef Ayde Chalom. It was, for whatever reason, Hashem needed to wait 2 years for Paro to have this dream. And once Paro had the dream, now what's going to happen? Who? I remember that guy in the jail, Yosef, all of a sudden, Samas Parneach, second in command, boom, amazing. This is not because he did something wrong, by the way. This medrash doesn't say he did anything wrong. It's another answer to the same question, right? Why 2 years? Not because Yosef's punished. Because this was the time, for whatever reason, that Kadosh Baruch Hu set it up to make sure that Yosef would head in the direction he needed him to head. Like the Ish we talked about last week, right? That mysterious man who Hashem places to cause history to go wherever it's going to go. So by Himikesh Saimimim is pointing out, yeah, why 2 years passed? The answer is because the Kadosh Baruch Hu was moving the chessboard and he's setting it up. This was the appropriate time for the dream to happen, and whatever economically was going on, happening in the palace, in the framework of the power struggle, whatever it was, this was how things needed to go so that Yosef would be taken out and rise to power. And so the Medrash is explaining, Mikeshna Saimimim, boom, Hashem is in control. Hashem's making, you know, making the calls on history. I want to show you something even more interesting also interesting, that I never, ever thought of, ever. Was written by, of course, those down in the Torah. In Surah number 8. And the Saratskin writes the following. Vayishkacheyu. Okay, I didn't make it up. Vayishkacheyu, he writes, Baal Korcho, which means against his will. The Saramashkin forgot him by against will, meaning Hashem made him forget. Right. See, I didn't make this up. This is what the Rosh Hashanah says this. Vayishkachehu is Hashem made him forget him. Hashem got rid of him. Why? Check this out. Shehayak, I'm sorry, the script is not so easy to read. Shehayak kosher ksharim. Hashem was tying knots. Kedila haskiro lifnei paro. The sarmashkin was tying knots. I don't know if it literally means this, like, you know, like you want to remember something.
You tie something
around your finger. So he was trying to remember.
I was like, that's
he was tying knots. I don't know what he means, but yeah, maybe that's what he means. Like you tie something around your finger, right? Kedila haskiro lifnei paro, in order to mention in front of paro. Umalach bao matiran. And a malach would come every day and undo the string so he would forget. Meaning, Hashem was literally
interfering.
Pulling the strings. Sorry. Abba, sorry. What Kadesh Yaskiru us? Right? Because he didn't want him to remember now. He wanted him to remember later. Bishash Yachalom Paro. V'yale al yidei zele gedula. So that that moment he's going to become powerful. Because check this out. Let's say he got out right away. And he's like, Paro, I have this guy. He's in the jail. He's a good boy. He's a nice guy. He didn't do anything wrong. He's thrown in jail for no reason. Can you just say your birthday? One more pardon. Help him out. And let's say that Paro did it. What would have happened? He'd make freedom right away. We never would find his place. When Paro would give a dream, where would Yosef be? Would have gone home. You ever thought of that? That's an amazing point. Let's say he would have just freed him. Free to go. Free from the jail. Where is he going to go? Nowhere. He's not a slave anymore. Potiphar got rid of him. He can't go to Paro. Paro doesn't need him. So where is he going to go? He'll go back to Canaan. Where else is he going to go? I don't know, I'm 40 years old. I never thought that my whole life. It's such a crazy thing. It's so important. It's amazing. Right? That's what you're going to do. So why? Because you think you want to be freed right now? That would be terrible for you. The whole story, the whole history would change. Instead, you say 2 more years and you hate it and you're so annoyed. I can't believe it. Why 2 years? Ridiculous. I can't believe it. It's terrible. Now it's time.
But Hashem could have just made Paro have the dream 2 years.
We don't know all of what Hashem does.
Right.
This is not about getting inside Hashem's head. It's not that we know what Hashem will do. We will never explain that. Right. That we can never explain. But the point is, we can have perspective on when things happen that, ooh, I thought I knew everything. I thought I had it all figured out, and I knew exactly what's supposed to happen this time and this time and this time. And if you're like me, like a type A person, so we like to have plans and controls, and we like to know how things are going to go. And we have a hard time when we don't know how things are going, right? That's a hard thing for people like me. So like, maybe you're like me. And if you're not, then you have other nisyonos. But fine, but that's a hard thing, right? So these stories remind us, like, slow your roll. I don't know so fast. I don't know so much. Right? Who knows why Hashem had waited 2 years? I have no idea. But if it wouldn't have been then, what would have happened? I don't know. The whole thing could have changed. Fascinating. One other point, and then I'm going to tell you the main thing I wanted to say. Holy cow, we're running out of time. Rav Biederman in source number 9 says something so cool. In this week's parsha, Yosef asked the Sarah Mashkim. I have to give Eric Schwartz credit for this. He posted this out to be in shul. In this week's parsha, Yosef asked the Sarah Mashkim to remember him and to tell Paro that he is enslaved for no reason. And he forgot him. Right? We said double language. Vayishkachehu means the same thing as lo zachar. The Chedush Arim explains, v'lo zachar sar mashkim es Yosef means that sar mashkim forgot Yosef. Vayishkachehu, who did that? Means that Yosef forgot the sar mashkim. After Yosef asked the sar mashkim to help him, he totally forgot about him. We aren't surprised that the Sarah Mashkim forgot Yosef, but we should be impressed that Yosef forgot the Sarah Mashkim. Yosef was in prison for 10 years, and this was perhaps his first ray of hope for him to be released. Most people in Yosef's place would be thinking about the Sarah Mashkim all the time, wondering whether he spoke to Paro on their behalf. But after Yosef did his hishtadlus, he didn't think about the Sarah Mashkim anymore. Yosef knew that only Hashem could save him, so after he made the hishtadlus, he didn't think about the Sarah Mashkim anymore. This is a more positive spin on Yosef. Lo zachar Sar mashkim et Yosef, but Yishkachev, and Yosef forgot him too. Because of Baal Bitachon, once they do their job, and finish. And by the way, there's parallel approaches to this. One is Yosef put his faith in the wrong place, et cetera, et cetera. He gets punished, and okay. And we can explain why. And the other shot is, no. Yosef actually did the right thing, right? The 2 years were so that he could get to his new job. And Vayishkachehu, Yosef did his job, and then he backed away. Once I've done my thing, nothing to worry about anymore. I can't worry. I could, but nothing to worry about because it's not going to help. Hashem's in charge. Fascinating. Okay. I love that word. I think it's like Muridik. It's amazing. I think it's like...
It makes sense because it doesn't say Vayishkachehu. It doesn't say who forgot who. It
doesn't say who forgot who. It's amazing,
it
right?
Totally fits.
Beautiful chat. Yeah. Such a beautiful chat. That is so nice. Okay. But we still have 4 minutes. So I want to show you a beautiful idea, the last piece, source number 11. We're not going to read the whole thing. The Beis Halevi. The Beis Halevi, Rabbi Yosef Dov Halevi Soloveitchik, the great-grandfather of Rabbi Soloveitchik, who's the father of Rav Chaim. And he says what has become like a, I don't know, famous, oft-quoted, whatever you want to call it, often said idea about this question of bitachon versus hishtadlus. How does a person find that balance? How do I know how much I'm supposed to do and how much I'm supposed to rely on Hashem? Because he quotes the same problem, right? On the one hand, Yosef is Ashrei Adam, right? Ashrei Yish Shebatach BaHashem. That's Yosef. But also Yosef is in trouble because he turned to the Rehavim. So I don't get it. Yosef is a good Baal Bitachon or he's a bad Baal Bitachon? Which one is it? So he explains as follows. Tell you where we start. Where should we start from? Oh, so 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 lines down. Ubiuro hapashut. See where I am? Ubiuro. I'll translate. Ubiuro hapashut. The simple explanation says. Dine be'emes ha-Torah hitir la'adam ha-ishtadlus. B'tzarech ha-gufa. Of course the Torah says a person can do ha-ishtadlus. B'tzarech ha-gufa. Whatever they need to do. Ukumash amra kasuv b'rachticha b'chol ha-shadaseh. I'll bless you with everything you do. The Torah says, gather your wheat, go to work, right? Person's supposed to go to work and do normal things. That's true. Right? That a Jewish person, person really should just be calm and rely on Hashem. Good luck. So why does the Torah let me go to work? I should just sit in my house and wait, go to the base medrash and whatever, do chesed, and wait for a check. Why does the Torah allow hishtadlus, work? Not every person can do that. Amazing. Not every person is, and by the way, sometimes we do fake bitachon, like, yeah, like Hashem will provide, right? That's not real bitachon necessarily, right? That's easy, it's a copy-out bitachon. That's not what we mean. But a person who feels the worry, right? So not everyone can do that. Just say rely on Hashem. Valkein hutar lo hishtalus kedei sheyilo siyua sheyagia lemadregas haboteach. Hashem allows a person to work and to do hishtalus in any area. Why? To help them get to a place where they can have bitachon. V'tzarach ko'adam lechadesh lo milacha ve'esek kedei sheyia nakel lo litoach b'Hashem. We go to work so that what? I can like bridge the gap. Or I'm missing my bitachon. Meaning every person should just rely on Hashem. Like, I can't. Some people can't just do that. They can't just rely on Hashem. So, but everyone's a little different. So what do we have to do? We're allowed to do things, right? To make that phone call, to get that job, to do the thing I need to do, right? I'm allowed to do those things. Why? Because it helps me calm myself down and get me to a place where I can then say, okay, but the rest I rely on Hashem. Right? Like, Vayishkachehu. Yosef said something to Sarah Mashkin, but then that was enough. Right? So every person is different. How much is enough? Right? So he says, "Ukumot matzina b'chol Torah kula sheitir lefamim kadeshi yelo siyul lavol madrega mivukeshes to let a person to get to a higher level." Ukumot she'amru leolam yasuk adam b'Torah mitzvah afilu shalol lishma shemitov shalol lishma balishma. A person can do Torah mitzvahs. Even I'm doing it for a reward. I'm not doing it just because it's the right thing to do. Okay, but the more you do it, even for the wrong reasons, eventually you'll get to the right reasons. Right? We don't say only do for the right reasons, and if not, then get out of here. No, you're allowed to do things even tinged a little by Shalol Lishma in order to get you there. By Hutra Shalol Lishma, Kadesh Yesiyu Lavol Bechina Lishma. Okay, but now check this out. V'im Kain, Shiur Haishtadlos Hanirtsa, the amount of effort in any area, we're trying to accomplish something that's necessary, Eino Shava Bechol Adam. It's not the same for any person. Rak Ko'echa Lefi Arko. Each person has to figure out for themselves how much they have to make mishtadlas to allow themselves to then be able to say, I can have bitachon in the rest. So if a person can do less work and they do more, then that's wrong. Right? A person needs more in order to feel calmer, that's okay. But then at that point, they have to stop. They say that the Chavetz Chaim had like a store. If he opened like 2 hours a day, he'd make enough money for the day, and then he closed his shop. Right? So that's like the Chavetz Chaim, right? But most of us couldn't do that. We'd be too nervous, right? But every person, right? People choose their profession. People choose, you know, all kinds of things in their life that they're going to do. And people say, how could you do that? I'd be too nervous. I'm not going to make enough money. Or I'm too nervous that whatever. Or how could you, right? Whatever the examples are, right? Why aren't you calling 12 shadcharim for your daughter to help her find your shadcharim, right? Whatever the examples are going to be. Things that make us nervous, right? Things that we're worried about, right? And we have to do enough, right? So that we can then say, the rest I'll put on Hashem. But not more than that. And it's our job to sort of train ourselves. If that's true, now go back to Yosef. Yosef was Ashrei HaGever. He was the highest level, Babi Tachon. So how much was he, according to this approach, according to the Medrash that says he did the wrong thing? What's the answer? How is he punished for Kim Zechartani? What's the answer? Because he was a person on such a level that just knowing the Sarah Mashkin was there was enough for him. He should have said, you know what, I'm really okay. I just let the guy out of prison. He's going to go talk to the power for me. That'll be enough, right? For someone on Yosef's level, it's better than just like, he's a big tzaddik, so he's held to higher standard. No, literally this is how it works. Yosef on that level, so he's already done having the Sarah Mashkin know about him and go back to Paro, he can relax. He should be able to at that point. And he pushed it. And he asked for more. And he did more than he was supposed to do. And that's why he gets punished. But a person not like Yosef would never be held to that standard. Why? Because the standard for bitachon for every person is unique and personal, depending on yourself. It's a fascinating idea. It's hard. It's not easy at all.
But you're not saying that when we want something, we should believe and not do anything.
No. But what we're saying is that if a person feels that they... I'm trying to think of another example besides like choosing a job. But the example that's easiest.
Going to come to me. I'm not going to make
I'll say the, yeah, I'll tell you, I have guys now in yeshiva, right? So I have these guys, they're first year, they're sophomores, they went to Israel, they're sophomores, and now they have to get their accounting major and they want to get an internship for their junior year, like a year and a half from now. And everyone tells them, you have to now start making phone calls every day to get this internship, and you're going to miss morning Seder, and you can't, because you have to get that internship, right? So I'm always like, I don't know what to tell you. Like, is that the truth? Is that what you have to do? And if you don't do, you'll never get. Somebody's like, you don't have to. I'm not saying what you should or shouldn't do. And I always tell them, I'm not an expert. I can't tell you. Go speak to your advisor about this. But like, how much, how crazy do your person have to make themselves on things, right?
I feel like sometimes the big things, like having bitachon, is harder in a way. Like, I think like big picture, like, Baruch Hashem, I have a job. I kind of expect the paycheck's coming. But I feel like sometimes in the smaller ways, like, let's say I have a big meeting. Like, if the kids both wake up, no one is sick, and I'm able to send them to school and go to work. Like, I feel like that is, like, a way where I feel like in some ways it's easier to have bitachon. Like, just Hashem, like, please make us all wake up, like, without a fever.
Right.
Like, and only Hashem could really do that.
Well, I should maybe say one caveat, which is that, and I've told you the story before, I think, from Rabbi Pesach Kron. Rabbi Pesach Kron's father was very sick, and he was visiting Rav Schwab. And he came, because Rav Schwab's house was near Columbia Presbyterian. So he came home one day and he said, how's your father doing? And he says, I have bitachon that he'll be okay. And Rav Schwab yelled at him.
Right.
And he said, bitachon does not mean that things will go how you want them to go.
That's right.
Bitachon means that you know that whatever happens, it's how Hashem wants things to go. Right? So I should have said it before.
And it doesn't mean you're not going to do anything about it.
No. But it means that I have a certain sense of like serenity. Is a great sefer, the Chovos HaLevavos, which has a whole piece on. They made a separate English Hebrew called Chovos Levavos Shar Bitachon. He talks all about the value. It's actually it's a beautiful sefer. He talks about the value of being a Baal Bitachon. Baal Bitachon does not mean everything will be fine. I mean, it will be fine, right? It will be fine because it'll be okay. Whatever's going to be, it'll be whatever it's supposed to be. Doesn't mean it won't be hard. Doesn't mean it won't have pain and suffering. But it means my life is going the way Hashem wants it to go. Doesn't mean I'll have to make some choices here or there.
I have to reschedule the meeting.
So then I have to reschedule the meeting. Right, but that's the Bitachon. The Bitachon is, right. And if it doesn't happen, it must be Hashem wanted that. That thing not to happen like that, and
still okay.
And either I'm supposed to get a different job, or I'm supposed to, or I'll keep my job and it'll be fine, right? Like, it's not getting so worked up and worried about every single thing. What if it doesn't go right? Because the answer is because I can't control all of it.
But
I can't.
Also, it has to be.
I don't control it.
Asher Husham.
But every person, exactly. But at the same time, sometimes each of us needs to do things in a way to help us come out. You know, I thought of a funny mushal. You can tell me if you like this or don't like this, but it actually makes a lot of sense to me. Sometimes a person, I have someone's like a student will come to me or someone will come to me like, so super anxious. I'm like, you really need to go to a therapist, right? But I realize that they're not going to make it as a therapist. Why? Because they're too anxious, right? And what was the first thing the therapist is going to say to them? You also need medication, right? You need medication. And they'll say, because what's the goal of the medication? The medication doesn't make the anxiety go away. It makes it manageable enough, then you can do therapy. Mm-hmm. So in a certain sense, I feel like the histadlus is the medication. Right? It's a pretty good muscle, right? The histadlus is like enough that now I can say like, now I can manage. Now I can do this. You know what? I can live with the discomfort of knowing that I don't know. And I don't know what's going to be. But I can say like, but I know that Hashem has a plan for me. But if it's just doing nothing, right? I can't say that. But how much do I have to do? In every case, it's a little different. How many phone calls do I have to make? How many people do I have to text about this thing that's making me worried, right? Before I say, you know what? I did enough. And now Hashem is going to take care of it, whatever that means, whatever that's going to look like. That's kind of what I think. Yeah. Yes. The Chazon Ish says emuna means a belief that there is Hashem. Bitachon means that Hashem runs the world. That Hashem runs the world.
Right.
Which is that's a much more hands-on.
More profound.
Much harder, yes. Yes. It is. It's very hard. And by the way, I think the reason I was hesitant to talk about this topic is because I think it's so hard. But the reason I wanted to talk about it is because I think it's hard, but it's something we can all do and work on. And I think the approach of the Beis Halevi is so, to me, very meaningful because it doesn't let us off the hook. Ah, Yosef was a tzaddik, so whatever, has nothing to do with you. No, it's that all of us have gradations. There's gradations on this, and each of us have a place in this continuum, and we got to figure out where we are. And Yosef was in one place, and that explains the Yosef story nicely, but it also gives us a responsibility that we all have a place to try to figure out for ourselves, and each of us in our own place, we're not the same as anybody else. To figure out what is the amount of effort I need to put in whatever thing that's making me worried, to do something that I have to do, but also at some point say, at the end of the day, Hashem's going to figure it out, and whatever it's going to be will be his plan.